Ces souvenirs me bercent. Chaque nuit quand je dors, je te retrouve dans mes rêves. Encore et encore et encore. Pour ce monde qui me teste, tu voudrais que je sois fort. Et moi je veux que tu sois fier. Encore et encore et encore. Yeah. You listening to CKUT, the place to be, and the Bronx is POP.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. I'm your host for the evening, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Let's go.
So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain? Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail, a smile from a veil? Do you think you can tell? Did they get you to trade your heroes for gold, hot ashes for trees, hot air for a cool breeze, cold comfort for change? Did you exchange a walk on part in the war for a lead role in the game?
Whether you listen to the hip-hop, or you tune into rock,
tande yon lot rel, anou li men yon chandel. L'humanité saigne, yon lot femme sotil nan fiel. Diel, tout pas tout planète pédi la kan ciel. Haïti ak Chili, Japon veye tout nan. Nan te ane ki le personne, pa ke pou personne. La vie tourne yon marathon, tout moun vle champion. Compétition, fin blie, sin gen yon conscience. Prends patience, matérialis, superficialis. Soto-destruction, poison.
Yes, 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 we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this evening is a continuation of what we started last week, which is celebrating Black mothers during the month of May. And we have a special guest this evening. We're doing it with a little bit of a twist. We're getting the perspective of the daughter and granddaughter of both Monique Dauphin and Melissa Dauphin. So we have with us this evening Anaïssa Dauphin, the first grandchild of Monique and daughter of her first child, so Monique's first child, Melissa Dauphin. She was born into a deeply cultural, artistic, and political family in the city of Montreal, where she spent the first 10 years of her life before moving to Jamaica. In 2013, her life changed when it required Anaïssa to adapt to a whole new lifestyle and culture in the heart of the Caribbean. Mixing her Haitian and Seychellois background with the Jamaican way of life was an amazing experience which built her into who she is today. In fact, while living there, she worked with her mother running an ecotourism business that exposed her to people from all over the globe. Living in Jamaica added to her luggage of experiences, and now that she has returned to the city of her birth, she feels it more than ever. Feeling blessed, she was grateful to be a part of a family led by her grandmother who instilled the love of blackness, humility, spirituality, kindness, and especially the importance of impacting others in their lives. Thanks to her grandmother and mother, Anaïssa is currently completing a DEC with a focus on law and society. Active on social media, specifically Instagram and YouTube, she shares advice, knowledge about the Black experience alongside lifestyle content with the aim to inspire and impact as following in the footsteps of her role models, her family. She plans to implicate herself as a catalyst for change and carry on with her grandmother's legacy of social impact and militancy through membership with an upcoming association of young Black people in Montreal called the New Black Generation. Anaïssa works on many projects and ideas. At the tender age of 19 years, everything is still in development and growth. Therefore, if you want to know more, you got to follow her on her socials. But tonight, we have her on Soul Perspectives. Anaïssa, welcome, welcome, welcome to Soul Perspectives this evening. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing very good. A bit nervous, but I'm good.
No reason to be nervous. We're just going to have a conversation and maybe a few people will listen to it. You know, one or two people will hear it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. So you are the granddaughter, you are the granddaughter of Monique Dauphin.
Yes.
The daughter of Mélissa Dauphin. And they are very influential and important people, especially in the Haitian community. Could you tell us a little bit about Monique? We sadly lost her earlier this year. My love, my comfort for your loss.
Thank you.
She was tied to my family, and so you know, I feel deeply for your family. But if you could just tell us a little bit about her, because I know a bit about her, but maybe you can like fill in the gaps for us.
Well, obviously, I can only tell you about my grandmother from my perspective as her granddaughter. And how I see her is just a symbol of love. That's what she represented for me. She was the type of person that changed lives in any way that she saw fit. She was the type of person who you could depend on for help all the time. And it was not only like for people like family. She would help. As soon as you were in need, she was there to help you. So that could be young mothers, Black people, immigrants, whoever you were, my grandmother was always there to help. So that's how I remember her. She was also a person, how I could describe her as being like very like multi-generational, because she was one, you know, the people of her generation aren't very known to be open-minded and stuff like that. But her, she was a person who was able to relate to everyone, no matter their age, which is why we had such a close and tight bond, because I felt comfortable to open up to her and I felt understood and heard by her. And I always knew she was an amazing woman, an outstanding woman. And I always knew how much of impact she had on the world around her. But it's through her passing that I grew to learn even more about her and of her impact on the community, on how like she made change for the Haitian community in Montreal, but also in Haiti, in politics, in education, in spirituality, in community work. So I mean, I could go on forever to
describe. We have the time. We have the time.
To describe who my grandmother was, but to keep it short, I feel
don't
like
keep it short. We want the stories.
So who she was to me is just, as I said, like a symbol, a representation of love and everything that love comes with. So kindness, real talk, being real when you know you need to hear it. She was amazing at doing that. She was a friend to me. She was my grandmother, she was a shoulder to cry on. She was honestly everything to me. And I came back from Jamaica around like 3 years ago. go. So okay. In 2020.
Okay.
And since I moved back, I lived with her, right? Like my entire childhood, I lived with her. But, you know, when I came back, I was around 16, 17 years old. And obviously my mindset grew, my values grew and all of that. And through that, I was able to develop a much stronger and more like authentic relationship with her. Mm-hmm. And I really treasured those last 3 years I was able to be with her, because I grew to understand how much of a deep person she was, mm-hmm. in the sense that she didn't see anything at a surface level. She always had a lesson behind everything. Right. She always had something to teach everyone about everything. And she did that in such a humble way. She never made you feel like, oh, I am teaching you this, or, oh, this is me handing you that. No, she was such like a humble and soothing soul. Like that's the energy that she gave off. As soon as she would step in a room, you would feel her presence, not in a like obnoxious and overly confident way, but she just had this soothing and calming aura that just made everyone feel better about themselves, about the setting they were in, and just about everything really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could just be saying this because she's my grandmother, but what I'm saying to you is what everybody says whenever they're speaking about her.
Right.
And through her passing, I there was a bunch of articles, a bunch of testimonies, a bunch of posts on social media,
yeah.
that, you know, where people expressed who she was to them and what she represented to the community and stuff like that. And everything I'm saying now is the same thing you'll see in those testimonies, in those articles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like her impact was so effortless because that's just who she was. Mm-hmm. If she had a last coin in her pocket, she'd give it to you. If she had an idea, she would act on it. Like everything that she saw for herself, for the world, she did. And that's something I truly admire. And I feel like personally, I have a lot of work to do, because mm-hmm. I want to carry on her legacy, because it deserves to be carried on in terms of the work that she did in the community with helping like young mothers, with helping immigrants, with helping Haitians, in terms of just all the values that she brought onto me and my family.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is a pretty much long, but not long enough representation of who she was, because trust me that like this interview is just not long enough to tell you like who Monique Dauphin was.
Well, we're gonna try and put as much as possible into mm-hmm. into this. Mm-hmm. We'll come back to that. Your mother, Melissa mm-hmm. Dauphin, what does she mean to you?
Oh, my mom is my best friend. My mom is, well, you know her, yeah. you know her character, you know how crazy, outgoing my mom is. My mom, wow, it's so crazy to like try to put something like that into words.
Yeah.
But to me, my mom is everything, you know? Everybody says that, oh, my mom is my world, my mom is my everything. But to me, like, I can't imagine what I would do without her, because ever since I was born, it's always been me and her.
Right.
We've been going through life as like partners, so that's why we have a very close relationship. She's always been super open with me. She doesn't hide anything from me. She tells me everything as it is, no filter, which is why I can, you know, proudly say that my mindset is very like ahead of my years.
Okay.
She basically all her experiences, she, you know, passed them on to me. And that's something I really am grateful for. And I'm really grateful that I have a friend in my mother as well, somebody who I can confide in, somebody who I can just openly be myself with.
Yeah.
So that's who my mom is to me. She's my everything, but more specifically, I would describe my mom as being my best friend, because we have that bond where I can run to her whenever I need to, and I don't need to mask or hide anything mm-hmm. because I know that she understands me and that she also respects me, which is something that I value a lot in our relationship. So that is who my mother is to me.
I like that you use the term mask. What mm-hmm. is there something particular about masking that you noticed with your generation?
Well, my generation and the ones of our parents are very different mm-hmm. in terms of, well, I'm going to speak in terms of like me. Yes. So my mom, she was born here, but my grandmother was born in Haiti. Right. Now, like a lot of my friends, their parents were born in their home countries as well. But like for me, I'm like a third generation immigrant. So yes. I feel like I'm very blessed to be a child of someone who was born here in the sense that like my mother's mindset is very open compared to like people who just came here or who came here like a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by masking is that, for example, some of my friends or the people that I know, because of the strained relationships that they have with their mothers or their parents, they need to hide certain of their truths, certain of what they're going through, because there's a gap between their generation and their parents' generation in right. the sense that there's not going to be that bridge of understanding, that bridge of, I feel what you feel.
Right.
And I feel like the relationships between people of my age and their parents nowadays are, they're not like, how can I say, they don't work hand in hand because there's just too many differences in the mindsets and in the experiences. And, you know, sometimes when people are older, it's hard to show them new concepts or new ideas. And that's why a lot of like people my age, they just tend to just close in on themselves and don't really open up to their parents in fear of being judged and misunderstood.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by masking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting thing because just generally in society, we, mm-hmm. we as human beings tend to wear a mask.
Yeah.
We have a mask for when we're going to work. We have a mask for when we're in a relationship. We're in a mask when we're in an intimate partner relationship versus relationship with our siblings, with our parents, you know. And it seems to me that in your family, you know, at least within your family, maybe you might still need to do that, the masking when you go out and, mm-hmm. and are in society. But within your family, it seems like there is a kind of honesty that can be a little bit rough, but mm-hmm. from how you're describing your grandmother, it mm-hmm. can be gentle as well.
Yes. Yeah. I definitely agree with you. And of course, it's a plus because you know my family, so you know where you're coming from, yeah. which is very true. My family is very open. We're all about communication and telling each other how we feel. And, you know, we all have very big characters. So sometimes it can clash. Sometimes it can become like, you know, complicated because we all have big ideas, big voices and stuff like that. So yes, it's very beneficial in the sense that like we all get heard, but then, you know, it can cause issues as well. Mm-hmm. I've never felt like I wasn't heard by my family, by my mother, by my grandmother. I've always been brought up in a way that communication, talking, exchanging was very important, which is why also like my grandmother, I view her as somebody that's kind of like ahead of her time mm-hmm. because, you know, back then she was born in 1947. Yeah. So back then, you know, women standing up for themselves or like women opening up or stuff like that wasn't really, you know, usual. Mm-hmm. So the way that she even raised her children and raised us in a way that like be open, you know, explore, adventure, do what you want to do is very like ahead of her time, which yeah. is why I'm going to relate it to like me not being afraid to open up with my family. However, I do have some feelings that sometimes like I'm a little bit different from them in the way that like my family is very, 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 very artistic. Like if it's not singing, if it's not dancing, if it's not the arts, like painting and stuff like that, like they're all very, very much into the arts, right?
Yes.
Me, myself, I paint, I like to draw, I like to write. So, you know, that's still a bit related to the arts. I used to do dance and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm very different from them in the terms that like, how can I say? I'm very like, I really like business and like technical stuff. And like, I'm very like, how can I say? Okay, let me put it this way. For me, I'm very like school, school, school. You know, I need to do this, I need to do that. And my family, they're more like free spirits, right?
Right.
So sometimes I see that difference, and sometimes I feel like I have a certain type of pressure to not to be like them, but to be like, you know, very good in my area, right, in order to, you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, that's the only like difference that I noticed between us. But apart from that, like, they're able to accept everyone with their differences, even though they're all very similar. So that's something I never struggle with my family. Yeah.
It sounds to me like the emphasis, like you've developed an emphasis on academic learning, mm-hmm, and it seems like your family has more of an emphasis on just life experience as a learning experience, as a teaching.
Yes.
Well, and both are valid.
Yes, definitely. You know, my family as a whole, you like, outside of just my grandmother and her children, we have everything. We have scholars, we have artists, we have everything, right?
Right.
But like, if I should focus on my grandmother and her children, my grandma really, she went to university into all of that, but her children, they were more so focused on like their artistic careers and their skills. Mm-hmm. So she encouraged them to go after what they want. And that's why I'm telling you that like she had a very different mindset as the people from the people of her generation.
Right.
But for me now, like my mother, she obviously saw like, you know, the advantages, but also the disadvantages of just following your dream without like taking on the academics and stuff like that. So she always pushed me to, you know, persevere in school and stuff like that. And to me, like school has always been like second nature. So that's what I'm telling you, like where I do see a difference, but it's not like they see me, oh, you're the school girl, you're different. No,
mm-hmm,
in the, like what they actually like motivate me to continue like that in order to, you know, make the change for my younger cousins, yeah, for my siblings, and like for the upcoming generations of our family.
I wasn't trying to say that they weren't encouraging. What I was saying is that it's just a different way of learning. Because eventually you're going to leave school, and you're going to have to learn life, you know, as living it. And I mean, you know, I'd like you to tell us a bit about your mom's business in Jamaica and,
mm-hmm,
and the ecotourism business, because I haven't quite wrapped my head around that. I've read your bio a couple times, but I'm like, I don't know what that means. What mm-hmm is ecotourism?
So basically, to explain to you what happened in Jamaica and what my mom was doing, we moved there in 2013, and my mom, like, she's very spontaneous. She just told us, okay, yeah, we're moving to Jamaica. My brother and I had only been there like twice before. Okay. So she made sure she brought us to see like how we enjoyed it and all of that. But once she made up her mind, she was like, okay, we're moving to Jamaica.
Right.
So we moved there, and then she's like, okay, because before moving to Jamaica, she used to work in the social area. She was very involved in the community and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So moving to Jamaica, she was wondering, okay, what can I do?
Right.
Can I work in the social area? Can I do that here? And then when she like went out to see if she could, it was too much for her compared to like the lifestyles and experiences in Canada.
Right.
So she told herself, okay, how can I do this? So we had friends that were coming from Montreal and that were staying at our places, like when they were coming to Jamaica and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then at first it was okay and everything, but then my mom started to realize that this is costing me money, like feeding two more people and like sheltering two more people. It was becoming a lot. So she told herself, sorry?
It was adding up.
Exactly. So she told herself, okay, well, if I can't, you know, work in my area, in my domain, why shouldn't I try to do tourism, since that's the number one income of Jamaica?
Yes.
So what she did is she didn't want to do like the five-star hotel type of vibe. She really wanted the local experience, because that's why she moved to Jamaica in the first place.
Right.
So we moved to like the rural side of Jamaica in the hills of Montego Bay.
Mm.
And there, she started first by, like, you know, just having people come at our house, and she would, like, cook meals and then place them. Instead of using plates, she would use, like, bamboos to feed them. So ecotourism is a way of, like, offering, you know, touristic attraction, a touristic stay, but doing it in a way that, like, that preserves the planet, but also, like, in a rural, local way, basically. So okay. She would have, like, tipis, like the, you know, those indigenous houses. Right. Yeah, exactly. So she would have tipis where, like, the guests would stay. And she didn't only have guests, she also had, like, volunteers, mm-hmm. from a program called Work Away. So how it works is that, like, if the person doesn't necessarily have enough funds to, like, pay for a place to stay, they come, they work, and then you feed them and shelter them in exchange, so they still get to experience the country, right?
Okay.
So that's what she would do. We had houses made from bamboo, from wood, where people would stay. So it was really, really natural, and that's what she was doing there. She wasn't really offering them, like, you know, pool days and, like, pina coladas on the beach and stuff like that. Right. Like, I mean, they could go out and do that, but the experience was really to see how Jamaicans live and how Jamaicans live, especially, like, in the countryside.
In the countryside,
so that's pretty much what she was doing in Jamaica.
That sounds like almost like a kind of a green living.
Yeah.
You know, so that you have the least impact on the ecology, on the environment.
Yeah. That's what it was. We had, like, outside showers. Mm. She was also, it never really finished because it was hard to maintain because of things like rain and stuff like that. But she started, I don't know if you've heard of, like, earthship houses. It's like houses made from, like, tires.
Okay.
Where, like, you just pile up the tires and put mud inside. And then eventually when it hardens, you can actually build a house out of that. Or, like, earth bag houses where you use bags made of, I think it's like plastic straws or something like that, and then, like, you fill them with dirt and stuff like that, and then you build houses. So we started doing that several times, didn't really work because of the rain and stuff like that, but
right.
That was the goal was to use old material to create shelter and attractions for people from all over the world, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you're joining us for the first time, we are speaking to Anaïssa Dauphin, who is the daughter of Mélissa Dauphin and granddaughter of Monique Dauphin. And we're having a unique perspective on the celebration of Black Mothers for the month of May. But as you know, it is Radio Land, so we do have to pay some bills, play some music, keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3. FM.
If you made a compensation claim for abuse at an Indian residential school, the records of your claim are secure. They will be destroyed in September 2027 unless you choose to keep them or share them. To learn more, call toll-free 1-877-635-2648 or go to myrecordsmychoice.ca.
Tout moun dormi dan moi, se mwen ka pase ren. Yo tout apre ma chef, se mwen ka pe goumen. Yo tout apre ma chef, se mwen ka pe goumen. Woy, anotrayon ma pe pase. Woy, anotrayon ma pe pase. Woy, anotrayon ma pe pase.
Si ou pa fèl pa gen person ki ka fèl pou ou Combien nan yo ki passe men tout bak sou ou Yo detou yo ka fè men vizon yo sel palè Se la chanm yo champion nan violasyon tout doa Fèm mwen pa jam kwa yo kou akte ki nan cinema yo baka Pliye prop jet yo pou pansa mas la yo malat Yon sel obsesyon se pou pran pouvoi Kite nou nan desespoi kominote nan desarwa Fè yo konen ke yo plesen Yo mette nan l'exil yo la gen nan mefi Sak violans, men nou pa pre dan silans Hipokrizi pa gen sens Denonse tout politisyen ak vole ki sa konsyans Ansis pan pan an blof ONG entire yo meten do zado Balen nou se kompit Kilikil machin
Kilikil machin Jaspo Afrika soude pou reziste Wanan kase len kou toujou kebe lot Jaspo Afrika soude pou reziste Wanan kase len kou toujou kebe lot Jaspo Afrika soude pou
travail ou pas sacrifice. L'idée la pour bail service. Ou important même Jacques, tout artiste qui gagne talent. Façon agi, façon palais, pas qu'à des pâmes. Sauti fan fait yon sel, pas qu'à neuf fait cartel. L'homme est brisé, yon jeune, c'est propre tête ou à prêcher. Tout son pensé qui panne, qu'à plein yon panne. Pas mon pose ou c'est récif, fort critique le constructif. Comprendre après colonisation, nous tous besoin de thérapie pour nous former yon nation. Question nous poser, pas qu'à résilier. Pour qui ça gagne haïtien qui fait pas les créoles l'école. Langou identifié ou, lycée identité ou. Langou identifié ou, lycée identité ou. Langou identifié ou, lycée identité ou.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we are continuing to celebrate Black Mothers. We started this last year, we're doing it again this year, and we added a little bit of a twist. We brought in this evening Anaïssa Dauphin, the granddaughter, the first grandchild of Monique Dauphin, who is renowned in the Haitian community, and the first daughter of Monique's first child, Melissa Dauphin, who is also renowned in the community here in Montreal and also in Jamaica, in Montego Bay in Jamaica. Before the break, we were talking about Melissa's business, her ecotourism business that she was running. And Anaïssa, first of all, thank you so much for being here once again.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. It is a pleasure. I want to know, like, because you are an entrepreneur yourself, like you have an entrepreneurial mindset. You mm-hmm. started up a YouTube vlogging channel. You're working on your social media and everything. Mm-hmm. Do you know what sparked your mom's desire to go into entrepreneurship?
I feel like my mom has always had a very out of the box way to think. Since I was a kid, and even before I came along, she's always been like going after her ideas and stuff like that. And my mom is honestly like a box of ideas. She always has new ideas coming like this, and she doesn't like routine. So, with that, with her having those traits, but also, as I said before, with her realizing that like she needed to find a way to make money and to live, to survive, to take care of my brother and I.
Yeah.
I feel like those are the two main reasons why she decided to just go into entrepreneurship. And I also feel like she has like all the right traits for it. She's very confident, very outgoing, very outspoken, a lovely person to be around. So full of charisma, all of that. So I just feel like those are all of the reasons why she decided to just say, you know what, let's just jump into entrepreneurship.
And let's jump back to your grandmother. So mm-hmm. you came back from Jamaica in 2020.
Yes.
Had you seen your grandmother in those years between when you went to Jamaica and when you came back?
Yes. So we moved in Jamaica in 2013.
Yeah.
And then the summer of 2014, we came back to visit, you know, to stay for a while. Then in like, I think 2017, 2018, we came to spend the winter vacations, like Christmas vacations. And then actually my grandmother's younger sister, who is my godmother, she passed in 2019. So we came like a bit before my 16th birthday, actually, mm-hmm. for her funeral. So I saw my grandmother like 2-3 times before finally coming back to live in Montreal.
And when having like stayed with your mom for all that time, for most of the time, mm-hmm. what was it like? Because I also have a similar story. In mm-hmm. that, when I came back to Montreal in 2000, I was born here, I was raised in Jamaica and Haiti, and I moved back to Jamaica in the year 2000, to Jamaica, to Montreal in mm-hmm. the year 2000 in order to study. So mm-hmm. I wanted to go to university, and I ended up going to Dawson and stuff like that. And I stayed with my grandmother, you know, periodically throughout. Like I'd moved out and then moved back in with her, you know. So, and I got the opportunity to really get to know her. Like we developed a very unique son-grandmother relationship that I'm mm-hmm. grateful for to this day. Because especially given that she passed away in 2014. Mm-hmm. So like, what was it like, you know, you're no longer a child, you're a teenager, right on the cup, like a few years shy of becoming a legal adult everywhere. Mm-hmm. What was that like? And, you know, you probably have a different mindset because you're living in rural Jamaica, you know, for sure. You're used to kind of working with your mother and probably toiling the land and, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And what was the difference when you were here, and how did you adapt, and what was your relationship like with Monique at that time?
I've always been very, I really adapt very easily. I haven't really had a choice because of the very spontaneous mother that I have, and also because of how real my mother is with me. So like the difference between Jamaica and Canada wasn't really hard to adapt to,
okay.
given that I was also born here and I spent 10 years here. Moving to Jamaica was a bit harder at the beginning, but I was just 10 years old. And I feel like whatever you put a child into, like the child will, you know, do with what they have. And also I wasn't alone. I had my mother, I had my brother. So the change wasn't really hard. Coming back here, though, was a bit challenging, and to be truthful with you, I didn't really want to come back because I spent my entire teenage years in Jamaica from 10 to 16, almost 17 years old. And then coming back here, I didn't know anyone. I didn't really talk to my friends from Canada anymore. It was a different vibe. And to me, like, I had been super like used to the Jamaican lifestyle. So I didn't really want to come back here. The only thing that made me really happy to be coming back was my grandmother and the rest of my family who were living in Canada. So when I just came back, my grandma, she was really like a helpful part of like my, how comfortable I became with Montreal, because she was 22 when she moved here. Mm-hmm. From Haiti, and she had to learn a whole new country, a whole new lifestyle without like technology, without social media and stuff like that. So she kind of saw herself through me, and she helped me to like not be scared and to just put myself out there. Yeah. And she also pushed me to use the opportunity of me moving back to Canada to like rebuild myself. And that's when I decided to just like forget about everything that, not forget, but just push away everything that happened in Jamaica and to rebrand myself and to put myself out there, to start school, start college, to start businesses, to just come out of my comfort zone. So she was really the person who was always there by my side, rooting me on and like, you can do this, you know? So that's how I pretty much made the difference between living in Jamaica and Canada.
Yeah. And what were some discussions that you had, some questions that you had, and some advice that she had given you when you first came? What were some of the things that she told you about?
She used to tell me how like fear doesn't get you anywhere. And if ever you want a change to happen, if you want something good to happen to you, you just have to put yourself out there. And of course, it's scary. Of course, it's hard. But you just have to do it. And me looking at like the impact that she's had and the work that she's done, I always tried my best to listen to everything that she had to say. Because to me, if I want to have that sort of impact, if I want to, you know, carry on the legacy of not only her, but my entire family, I have to be listening to her. I have to be putting myself out there. So that's pretty much what she would tell me. She would, you know, tell me to believe in myself, and she would tell me that there's not two Anaïsas, you know? So I have to be myself at the best of my ability, because nobody else can be me, right? So that's pretty much the advice that she would give me at the beginning. and more so towards like the end of her life, she would really tell me not to limit myself, because I have this bad habit of being very like skeptical, and also like I'm a lot of a perfectionist sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like makes me limit myself, and I kind of get scared of what's going to be next.
Okay.
So she would really tell me to like to stop focusing on what could go wrong and to just put myself out there, because even though something could go wrong, it's still an experience. It's still something to put in my baggage to carry on the journey of my life, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the type of advice she would give me.
That's interesting, because I also have that mindset of like, mm-hmm. whatever it is that you're going through is meant for you. And even if it seems like a bad thing, it's actually meant for something good to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you want to achieve a particular goal, the best way to achieve that goal is to just continue no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you've seen some of those videos, but like there was one particular video where a guy said, you know, never fear rejection, because a no means next opportunity. It means new opening. It means, you know, on to the next thing. Like, whether it is that it's a person that you're interested in that says no, then you move on to the next person.
Right.
It's a job offering that they told you no, then it means you go on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last year for me, I applied for, I think, half a dozen jobs that really would suit my experience and my character, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, most if not all of the jobs had to do with community, had to do with working in the community, and I didn't get any of them, and that was extremely traumatic for me. That was like, yo, I've never, you know, applied for this many jobs and not gotten a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took it as, this is a sign that what you're doing right now, my entrepreneurship, the radio show, you know, doing all these different things, is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
As opposed to like going and spending my time working for someone else. This is what I need to be doing. I need to be writing these stories that I'm writing. I need to be putting this platform up for folks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it is important, because we don't our path is not set in stone,
for sure,
you know, and
change
is the only constant in life.
Definitely,
you know, like
my short 19 years of life have definitely shown me that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And if change is the only constant, then mm-hmm. means change is the norm.
Mm.
You know, people who don't change, like people like your grandmother was willing to change.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It sounds to me like she understood that society is not stagnant,
mm.
and anything that stays the same is it sounds to me it's bound to fail.
Yeah, for sure.
Or it's bound to lead to unhappiness at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Like if a relationship doesn't evolve and get better or change the things, then
it's pointless. Yeah, for sure.
How did you take some of the lessons that you learned as watching your entrepreneurial mother in order to grow your platform and business today? Like, what were some of the lessons that you took in moving in that direction?
The main lesson I learned from my mother and like her career in entrepreneurship is to be yourself and to be totally real. Because the minute you try to, you know, embody the idea or the concepts of somebody else, it's not going to work. Because you have your own identity clashing with the person you're trying to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
And she really taught me the importance of being authentic and of learning that if you're yourself, you're going to attract the right crowd. Because if you're out there trying to be like other people, you're going to be attracting vibes and energy that don't necessarily resonate with you. And it will never prosper, it will never grow. But if you're your true self, which is the easiest thing to do, mm-hmm. you're going to attract people who really enjoy your vibe, your energy, your message, and mm-hmm. that's how you're going to grow. And that's something that's really useful in, like, especially growing businesses and enterprises in on social media, because they're very focused on niche and target audiences. And in order to reach your target audience, you have to be yourself. So that's what I really learned from my mom. And one of the reasons why her business in Jamaica was so successful, and some of the reviews that we've been getting over the years about her, is how true and real she was. That's why people kept coming back. That's why people enjoyed being with her, because she never shied away from, like, being who she was. Yeah. So that's, like, the main lesson I learned from her.
Yeah. And in your bio, you say that there's an upcoming association called the New Black Generation.
Yes.
What is this?
Okay.
It's like, wait a minute. Like, mm-hmm. I need to be in the know. What is this about? What is going on here? Sounds like the New Black Panthers or something like that. Like,
so let me explain. So yes. New Black Generation is an idea I came up with in 2021 to 2022. Mm-hmm. And it's like I got inspired from another thing that my mother put in place. She was responsible of the teenage, like, a group of teenagers associated with La Maison d'Haïti,
yes.
in Montreal. And she was responsible for, like, teaching them values that they should hold on to while becoming women. She was responsible to teach them, like, stuff like sex education, to teach them stuff about how important it was to respect yourself, to value yourself as a woman, to have, like, you know, to have hobbies and not only be, like, depending on men to, like, find entertainment and stuff like that. So she had that project, and she even, like, she had a dance troupe with them. So she basically created an environment for women to, like, enjoy themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was very involved with that, with her, because I was, like, what, 6, 7, 8 years old, seeing, you know, the teenage girls being involved in the community and stuff like that. And it was very inspiring to me. Yeah. So when I came back here, I saw a door of opportunity to do something like that, but for myself. However, I decided to focus more on, like, the Black community and young Black people. So when I started developing, like, friendships and bonds here, I started exchanging, like, my ideas with my friends. And what we're creating basically is a platform and a society, an association, where young Black people feel safe. Mm-hmm. In the way that we will be organizing events for entertainment purposes, but also for educational purposes. Like, we're going to have, like, self-love workshops, Caribbean workshops, African workshops. Also, like, we're going to be an open space where young Black people can feel free to come and express themselves, because I feel like it's kind of hard sometimes to talk to your parents or to talk to older people, and sometimes you feel very alone. So we're going to be, like, just a space where communication, where knowing about your Blackness, where having fun, where all of those things are going to be valued, and it's going to be run by people who are not too far in age from the people we're targeting. Mm-hmm. So the age groups we're going for are, like, between, let's say, 12 to, like, let's say mid-20s. Mm-hmm. So I just want to create something where young Black people with goals, with vision, feel like they have a backbone, they have a support, and they have people who they can come to that think like them, that are around the same ages as them, to help them move forward. So that's basically what New Generation is. Something to let the youth, the Black youth of Montreal, learn how to have impact and do it all together.
That sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in for the first time, where you been? You start at 7 o'clock, all right? But yeah, we're speaking to Anaïssa Dauphin, the granddaughter of Monique Dauphin, the daughter of Melissa Dauphin, and the creator, the one of the founders of a new organization that will be coming to fruition very, very soon called the New Black Generation. So we got to look out for that. But in the meantime, we are in Radio Land. We do have to pay some bills, play some music. Keep it locked. You're listening to Soul Perspectives on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Tourne tout le temps, bouge et suis le mouvement. Vous ne mettez pas sur le rythme. L'ivresse coule et s'empare de moi et remet au combat tous ces démons qui m'habitent. À quoi ça sert de pleurer le passé? Le tempo me libère des pressions démesurées. Je veux vivre moi. Fiche-moi la paix et toi. Je suis née pour être libre, baby. J'ai révisé les pages de mon histoire, épousseté les recoins de mon placard. Mes moments de lumière, de rouge et de noir. Ce chapitre tire à sa fin. Je peux fermer les yeux, la plume à la main. En l'honneur de qui je serai demain. Ask myself who should come late.
Yes, yes, we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My guest this evening is Anaïssa Dauphin, and she is participating, she is contributing to the celebration of Black Mothers for the month of May by celebrating her grandmother, Monique Dauphin, and her mother, Melissa Dauphin. Anaïssa, thank you so much for being here. Like, in my 42, my tender 42 years, I am learning much, much, much from you. And I'm really grateful that we have this opportunity to exchange and to talk. I think intergenerational exchange is important. And I believe in what your grandmother, the mindset that your grandmother has of like, adapting to the new times. As much as sometimes these generations, they make me want to snatch their souls, mm-hmm. because they say some stuff that's like, you out of pocket. But you know, I still believe wholeheartedly that in order to be better, we got to work together. So I'm very happy to be learning these lessons, seeing the two amazing women that Monique and Melissa Dauphin are. What does motherhood mean to you?
Before I answer your question,
go ahead.
Thank you for having me. I'm very, very like touched to know that you're learning from me and that you're enjoying this as much as I am. So thank you so much for, you know, taking the time out to let me honor both my mother and my grandmother. I'm very, 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 very touched by that. And to me, motherhood is the most important role in the world. That's what motherhood is to me. I feel like motherhood is a superpower I feel like it's something that can't be like, you can't compete with that. And to me, motherhood is love. Motherhood is patience. Motherhood is change. It's transformation. It's a constant learning experience where there's a lot of lows and a lot of highs, but I feel like it's an experience that shapes the people of upcoming generation. And I feel like it's one of like, it is the most important role. As I said, I feel like without mothers, society would not be able to function. And I feel like mothers is just the most important part, or should be at least the most important part of people's lives, because it's what you learn at home when you're a child and, you know, behind closed doors that kind of shape you into the person that you're going to be and how, like, you impact the world. So that's what I see motherhood as.
In the latter years of mm-hmm. your grandmother's life, was there mm-hmm. were there any like traditions that you had together, anything that you had that was just between you and her that you could share with us?
Yes. As I said earlier in the interview, we were really close. We became like friends when I moved back here. And, you know, when my mom would be at work, or like it would just be me and her, we would constantly like watch movies together. I would update her about like stuff happening at school, or like gossip with my friends, or like even stuff about guys. I would tell her everything. When I started YouTube as well, she was always the first person to watch my YouTube videos, whether it be on her phone or on the TV. And my videos are in English, and she's not that good in English, but she right. would just, you know, make the effort to listen to them and to understand, you know, what I had going on and stuff like that. What else would we do? Sometimes she would like, you know, get up in the middle of the night and I would be up and she would be like, are you hungry? Yeah. And then we would just make a little meal together and eat. She would, for example, like if she would be like sewing something, me personally, I hate sewing. I don't have the patience for that. But she actually studied to do like haute couture. So she was, you know, very into sewing. So she would call me to at least watch her. And I would enjoy watching her because she would tell me like stories about when she was younger, while she was sewing and stuff like that. It was also very like a part of our habits for me, like to just, you know, come into her room, lay in her bed, and she would just tell me stories about like when she was younger, or she would tell me stuff about like her experiences with my grandpa, let's say, or just we would just talk. And it was fun for me like to listen to her teenage years and to her like early adult life and to tell her about mine, and we would make like comparisons and I would be able to understand, you know, the differences between her time and my time. Mm-hmm. So I feel like our habits were very, very centered on communication and on exchanging experiences mm-hmm. because through her like sharing values and knowledge with me, I was even able like to give her advice as well. And that's the beautiful thing I saw, like I see in how our relationship was, is that she wasn't only the one pouring into me, I was also pouring into her. Right. And I find that it was a very beautiful thing that she was open to learn from somebody younger than her.
Yeah.
So that's the type of relationship and this type of habits that we had together.
Wow. That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Thank you.
Is there any particular story that stands out that maybe she shared with you that you could share with us, or mm-hmm. something particular that was like, this memory is like, you know, like what's that Inside, the cartoon Inside, mm-hmm. where they're like, this is a core memory.
Wow.
Do you have a core memory that you could share with us?
Wow. I feel like the ones that are coming to mind now, I can't really say.
Okay.
And then, like, others aren't that, like, of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Let me just pick this one. It's something that's very, very traditional to like all Haitian communities, families, I mean. But on the 31st of December into the 1st of January, like we would be making the soup jumu, which is like the liberation soup for the Haitian community to celebrate their independence. And to her, like that was something very important. Like we would not miss a year. In fact, even when she came to visit us in Jamaica, which I forgot to mention, she came quite a few times. She would even make the soup in Jamaica when she would be around for, New Year's. So the memories of like every year with her and the soup were really important to me because every year was different. We had some years where we had like a lot of people where there was just everybody celebrating and stuff like that. And we had other years where it would be very more like personal, where we would take like spiritual baths with like flowers and perfume and stuff like that, like more of a family setting. And we would have like other years where, as I said, it would be in Jamaica where like we would share the Haitian history with Jamaicans and teach them about like the background of the soup and stuff like that. So to me, being able to experience that soup with her in such different ways every year are definitely like core memories and things that I treasure, because it's not like it was always the same at home eating the soup and just, you know, it was always different. And I felt like I was learning more and more aspects of the history of the soup with how different it was every year. So that's definitely one.
You know, I'm glad that you reminded me that it, The soup jumu is about the celebration of Haiti's independence, because it was January 1st, 1804, that Haiti finally got its independence. And I feel like not a lot of people remember that or take the time, you know, like I had an ex-partner of mine that we went to her family's house and we stayed for you know, New Year's Eve and into New Year's, and they did the soup jumu for us to eat at lunch on the first. Mm-hmm. But there was not an emphasis on being like, this is a part of our history. Like, Haiti has over 200 years, going up to 220 years, coming up next January 1st, 2024. 220 years of independence. I feel like we talk about the soup jumu, but we don't talk about the history. We don't talk about why this is such a significant part of our history and why we're having this soup together. Did your grandmother speak about the history of Haiti and make an emphasis on that?
All the time. Like, my grandmother was Haiti's number one fan. It's always Haiti, Haiti, Haiti. When I was back in Haiti, always talking about Haiti. Like, she had an undeniable love for her country and for the history of her country and for the true side of what Haiti is, which unfortunately not a lot of people my age or a lot of people generally know about today. And she made sure that my family and I, and especially like the younger people, so like my younger cousins, my brother, that we knew what Haiti was and not what the media shows us about Haiti. She made sure that we knew about our history, about our heroes, about the spirituality of Haiti, about the traditions of Haiti. And those are all things that she passed on to us all the time, but especially during independence time, where she would explain to us like the stories behind the soup and stuff like that. And those are not like only things that I learned like recently. Those are things that I grew up hearing even before Jamaica. Those are things that, like, even for, let's say, like bedtime stories, those are the stories that I would hear, not, you know, those stories about pigs and like, I wouldn't hear those stories. Like, to me, with my family, it was always about teaching, and history was a very, very important thing that was taught to us, especially by our grandmother. Yeah.
I like that. And when you came back from Jamaica, did you become involved? Because I know that that your grandmother, she was very much involved in Maison d'Haïti, and I believe in when we were at the service, I believe that they said that she was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but she was one of the founders or one of the people who helped to found it back then.
I'm not sure if she was one of the founders, but I do know that she was one of the first people to work there and to start many projects and to shape it into what it is today. So I don't know if she was one of like the primary founders, but I know that she's one of the persons who really pushed it to where it is today with her ideas, with her implication and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I remember at one point as well, they had named several women who had a particular
blue bow thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was purple or blue.
No, not blue, purple. Sorry. Yeah.
Right. What was that about? What was the group that she was a part of?
That was the Comité 3 Avril. It's something that she put into place with those women in support of women, especially Haitian women, just to push women to go forward and stuff like that. Actually, they also like were very involved in like politics and, you know, women's rights and things of that sort. And a couple of years back, I think it was in 2020 or 2021, I actually went to one of those protests with my grandmother, where like we were marching for the rights of Haitian women and children. We didn't march. It was a sit-in. So we were like talking to people, and we had like posters and stuff like that. So my grandmother, she was all about protests and like sit-ins and that type of stuff. So that's what she was pretty much doing with the women of Le Comité 3 Avril. Yeah.
And were there other thing, because I know your grandmother and my mother were involved in I'm not really, I don't want to misspeak in terms of what exactly it was, but they went to Ottawa and there was, by one of the leaders of the First Nations community, there was an acknowledgement of Haiti as like a sister, like as siblings to Native folks in Canada, specifically because Haiti was a midway point between all of the islands coming from Florida, because there would be like a kind of a migration to the different islands, and they came through Haiti, the original people of Haiti. Do you know about that? Did you hear about that story?
I'm not sure about the exact story that you're talking about. However, I do remember going to Ottawa with my grandmother at a museum where there was like expos of like the indigenous culture and stuff like that. And she had a specific section where she was touching on like Haitian spirituality. And I do remember going like out of Montreal to like Maniwaki, for example, where we would spend like at least a weekend or a week with the indigenous people, where they would exchange their cultures with ours. And my grandmother was very, very respectful of them being the First Nations of Canada. And she made that very clear. She went out of her way to learn about them and to also teach them the Haitian culture, the Haitian history and stuff like that. She was extremely close to them. So I'm not surprised if what you're saying actually happened. I'm so not surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe it happened between 2012 and 2014.
Okay. I left for Jamaica in 2013. So it's possible that I wasn't aware of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What is aside from like what you've already said, What is perhaps a core memory with your mom that you could share with us?
Wow. I have so much as well. Like, I think out of all the questions you've asked me, those are the hardest because, like, I have so many.
Right.
Well, with my mom. Mm. Again, the ones that are coming up of stuff that I can't say.
Okay.
Because of, like, how deep they are.
Okay.
But I feel like every day with my mom is a core memory because my mom is such a character. Like, you never get bored with my mom. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every day I learn something new from her. I learned that, like, the importance is confidence, being yourself, and just being real and just taking life one day at a time. And that's, like, what I get from time spent with my mom, what I get from the memories with my mom, just to value happiness, value life in itself, because unfortunately life is so short and we don't realize the importance of, like, the people we have around us and the memories that we share with them until it's too late. So really the memories that I have with my mom, like, if I should state a message from them, it's just to live to the fullest. Yeah.
That is a beautiful way to close off this segment. Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Anaïssa Dauphin, the granddaughter of Monique Dauphin, the daughter of Melissa Dauphin, and entrepreneur, YouTube vlogger, learning law, just all of the things. We do have to take a quick break. Pay some bills, play some music, because we're in Radio Land. Keep it locked because you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Through Tree Canada's National Greening Program, native tree seedlings are planted across Canada, creating a widespread impact. Planted trees provide habitat, prevent soil erosion, and reforest areas that have suffered tree loss due to pests and weather. Tree Canada performs 1, 2, and 5-year assessments to monitor tree survival and ensure the trees planted are on track to meet the forest cover goals of the site. To learn more or to get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
Fort, nous gain pouvoir, c'est pour ça yo te mandé m'ki jan va gâcher ta, c'est mettre quand qui veille corps, gain moun qui balé trop, des bayo qui gardé langue yo on dit jan pop, aketo la tourner, expérience en li besoin, bouche nain on pou ka boire même si de l'eau en senti, zoazo li fait niche li, ka li te kete lou, kwè li te fait dit, mais non mon chemin meli, piti piti pa courir, ou c'est riche maléré, nous ka rési tant kou prédit, gade gade, nous fait bini, piti c'est tic, nous gon travail pou m'fè, pa gain fatigue, bae sa, li pi gros passo, senti bon coûté cher, y'a touché ça l'air, y'a l'air ça. Back on them, yo te dim l'autre jour. Gen yo ki kon kouri, mais yo pa kon caché. Mais les marées ap monté, na wè sa ka nage.
Yo pa vle pou nou din de la, mais je di yo me plie sa. Yo pa vle pou nou din de la, mais je di yo me plie sa. Yo pa vle pou nou din de la, mais je di yo me plie sa. Yo pa vle pou nou din de la, mais je di yo me plie sa.
Making moves, lose myself in the song, and look around only to find myself on the floor. I crawl in the space to give thanks to the most, and manifest a godlike image from within. The day you had to go, while I was drowning in the sorrow, alone in my room and afraid to see tomorrow. Money in the Bible, purify the evil. Everything I've seen and done, I should write a novel. I guess it's what I'm doing now by writing these bars. Backpacking trauma, trying to breathe like a comma. Reality's a monster. Now we get along. I took a slap in my face, and now I'm born in single dad, and find the right channel, one that is suitable, focus on my little one and remain accountable, find the essential, lost in my mansion, it's what made me last, love is what I'm chasing now, yeah. Yo,
bosses in the lobby with a drink and a celly and a case full of products, and I've just passed the customs. And yet from day one I've been reasoning my logic to give away samples and making new customers. Cut the merchant app, then ship it to Atlanta.
Politicien prend roule, babille nous à clab, y'a rend la vie impossible. Majorité moun pas travail, pas forcé anesthésier, peuple à nan goutaille. Y'a pas plat pour dénoncer, défoncer sac bêtisé, qui pas comprendre qui vole yo, c'est pour élever les frisot, cap dormi. Depuis nan Guinée, Bonneg et Deneg, Jafrika, Latin, ouvert jour, ouvre les oreilles, pas chita nan misé, écarté toute ville obéi. Facebook, Twitter, ou pas ouais nous tout nan day, ça fait mal et m'a gâté, y'a un petit moun en palimpé, cap groumé pour à l'hôpital, j'y sans ou lever. Sans transport, sur le bruit blessé qui fatigué. Dégoûté à fois à des journalistes cap constitué. Pour quelques dollars pas représenté, pour ma société. La justice, tout pas garantie même.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson, and tonight we are bringing to a close tonight's edition of the Celebrating Black Mothers for the month of May. We are speaking to Anaïssa Dauphin, who is Monique Dauphin's first grandchild and daughter of her first child, Melissa Dauphin. Born into a deeply cultural, artistic, and political family in the city of Montreal, she spent the first 10 years of her life. Montreal is where she spent the first 10 years of her life before moving to Jamaica. In 2013, life changed when it required Anaïssa to adapt to a whole new lifestyle and culture in the heart of the Caribbean. Eventually, she moved back, and thanks to her grandmother and mother, Anaïssa is currently completing a deck with a focus on law and society. She is active on social media, specifically Instagram and YouTube, where she shares advice, knowledge, and knowledge about the Black experience alongside lifestyle content with the aim to inspire and impact as following in the footsteps of her role models, her family. She plans to implicate herself as a catalyst for change and carry on with her grandmother's legacy of social impact and militancy through membership with an upcoming association for young Black people in Montreal called New Black Generation. Anaïssa Dauphin, thank you so much for being here, for sharing with us, for sharing your stories of your mom, of your grandmother. I feel like stories are the things that bring us together as a community.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
You know, because regardless of who is telling the story, there's always a little something that we can pull, like I relate to you in the sense of like coming back and living with my grandmother for a while and building that relationship. Even though we're a generation apart, mm-hmm. like I can relate to you on that and learning lessons from my grandmother. And sometimes they're not direct lessons, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes it's just, oh, you know, there's this. Let me tell you about this thing that happened. And then you're like, mm-hmm. later on, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember when my grandmother told me that.
Yep.
And that's what she was talking about. She was teaching me something in that moment. We are coming to the end of the show. Is there like some nugget of, and there's so, I feel like there's so many, but is there some nugget of advice that you've gotten from your mother and or your grandmother that you could share with folks that you haven't shared with us already?
Wow. Again, I need to take a little time to think about it. Honestly, I feel like I'm just going to wrap up the bits of the advice I've already shared with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say like the importance of just really living to the fullest in a way that like you're true to yourself, mm-hmm. in a way that like don't box in yourself or don't limit yourself to what others expect from you or to what like society expects from you. Just go after what you truly want. And once you do that, even if what you want isn't clear or even if your vision isn't clear, with time and with going after it, your vision is going to get clearer and what you're meant to do is going to be way clearer. Also to believe in your abilities and not to like, you know, overthink, oh, what's gonna happen next? Just to really go for it.
Yeah.
Just to do it, basically. Because, you know, it's one thing to have the ideas, it's one thing to write them down, but things won't come to life if you don't take action. So I feel like I've had the perfect role models and the perfect example of people who take action in my mother and my grandmother. Mm-hmm. So that's the type of advice that they gave to me and that I'm able to like take from them just by watching them impact their community, basically.
Yes. We are coming to the end of the show. Please let people know what your YouTube channel is about, how they can get at you to follow you, and also to find out about the new Black generation, because we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my YouTube channel is CEO Anaïssa. Anaïssa is A-N-A-I with two dots, S-S-A. My Instagram, where I post all the information of what's going to go on my YouTube and what's happening for New Black Generation and stuff like that, is CEO.ANAXSSA. So that's CEO.ANAXSSA. And if you do find access to my Instagram, you're going to be able to find my YouTube channel super easily. And you're also going to be able to find New Black Generation Instagram, which is listed in my bio. So if you should be looking for anything, it should be my Instagram, because you'll be able to find everything else there. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thank you so much, Anaïssa, for being a part of this celebration of Black mothers. It's been a privilege, it's been an honor, and it's been an education as well. Mm-hmm. For me. Thank you for sharing. That brings us to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for logging in. Thank you for listening in wherever you are, whenever you are, however you are. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're having a beautiful evening, morning, afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. That brings us to the end of another show. We are here every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. You can listen back to the full archive of the show at 8:31. It's on our website, www.ckut.ca. Go to Programming and Archives, go to Tuesday, go to Soul Perspectives, and you can listen in, and you can listen to all the other shows that we've had for, I believe, the past 2 to 3 years. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have a blessed night. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you have been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Grâce à la beauté lumière, sacré mec Kaila, ça qui les yon met au monde en fort mon environnement. Trop désagréments, ça fait longtemps, y'a fait de malfaisant. Mène t'y mouille l'école ou même trop tout malveillant. Manger convenablement, pas chita d'un gouvernement, nous tous travaux de changement. Maman te dit ça pour gagner pour de nos marcheux. Moi gagnant son et puis parole, c'est ça me partage moi là. M'a toujours combattu pile, l'aime des petits 4-4 moins, alpha des pilates. Faites ta courroux de ma mélade, faites champagne ma limonade. Paysan m'a trop pris mal, lève bien tu camarade, trop menti avec tes ténales. Réboisez mon hôpital, pas goût même un carnaval, pas jamais un mal pour mal, pas justice dans le tribunal.
Tu vas, tu viens, c'est dans la ligue avant oui.
Ça
ne boy ici. Ouais, t'as mou fortune, merci. C'est là dans moi t'es grandi. Moi t'es tout pas j'aime tester t'as mou pour moi ecstasy. Expérience pas apprenti. Pas j'aime vu faire ma des.
Son d'alcool sans âme, yo vle tomber dans l'échec, mais d'être tous sans âme. M'ba victime, m'a combattre, m'en croire avec la foi. Motivé, retranché, dans le bas à roi. Trop d'années pour m'ré ici, m'en vrai pour mourir. N'en fait, moi, c'est sans taille, non, ce qui a couru. Dans l'esprit, m'da romé, toujours l'âme jaillit.
It is the human rights issue.
Son monde mourit qui pas actif. Liga à travail, montrer vous qu'il n'importe qui taille. Exclusion sociale, pas fort qu'il s'explique un peu mal. Petit jeu banal qui veut notre tête, mon infernal. Mental infecté à l'ignorance, on est royal.
This is Tony from Planet Giza, and you're listening to CKUT Montreal Community Radio. This is the crib right here, so shout outs to every station on here, and shout outs to you, the listener. Don't go nowhere, we'll be right back.
This year, for the 9th annual Native Women's Shelter of Montreal Spirit Walk fundraiser, our theme is the idea that with strong foundations in place, space can be created for growth and new life. Join us for a walk on Mount Royal to raise funds so that women staying at the Native Women's Shelter will have access to a healing retreat and other workshops necessary to reground themselves, heal, and put solid foundations in place from which to move forward. walk with us on June 10th on Mount Royal. For more information, search Spirit Walk MTL on Instagram or Facebook.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
Listening to CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal. Listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro. Ascultați emisiunea de radio Marca Ro pe 90.3 FM CKUT.